Podcasting 2.0 for January 6, 2023, episode 116. We're Cryptotarians! Hello, everybody. First board meeting of the new year, 2023. Are we already in the 3 years of this thing almost? Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is your weekly board meeting where we discuss all things around the new podcast standards, the namespace, everything happening at podcastindex.social, and we've got some great guests here with us in the boardroom. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man always prepared to pull your request. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Did you know that I've got a deep cut for you here?
A deep, wait, you have a deep cut for me?
Yeah, like a...
Like a deep cut as in a deep cut on a record?
Yeah, but this is a fact. This is like a deep cut fact.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm excited already.
Well, I was trying to figure out... Oscar pinged me this morning and said that we're getting 403s on the API. And so...
Hold on. For those of you just tuning in, Oscar Mary runs the Fountain app. And what did he get on the API?
Some 403s.
Mm-hmm. What is a 403?
Like, it is...
It's an error of some sort, obviously.
Right, yeah. So it's like... I think, is it service unavailable? What's a 403? I always get it mixed up with a 403. Yeah, forbidden. My bad. So 403 forbidden, which is weird. I'm like, okay. That's authentication related? I don't really get it. And when it goes through Cloudflare, you're not exactly sure sometimes either, because it can get wonky. But... so I'm trying to figure that out. And of course, because I'm listening to, my playlist, my Spotify playlist, for whenever I'm doing, API stuff, because it's important. It gets me in the mood.
Wait a minute. I actually have a little peek inside your Spotify playlist. This is something you posted just today.
Yes.
There you go.
That is on it. Yes. That's little track number.
Tom Jones for you, everybody.
Yeah. In honor of the Indian Tom Jones, Sam said.
Love is like candy
on a shelf.
Help yourself is the title. And we know why you posted that, but okay, let's keep on going.
Well, so I'm like, so I'm trying to figure this out. And then, what hits the playlist is, Sailing by Christopher Cross.
Oh yeah. Take Me Away.
Yeah. Sailing. Yeah. That, and I'm like, okay, I don't actually know who Christopher Cross is. I thought he was a one hit wonder. I'm like,
no, he had a couple songs, I think. Didn't he?
Yeah. Turns out he had a couple of big ones. That's about it. I mean, like, evidently the guy, he's from San Antonio. San Antonio.
I didn't know he was from San Antonio. How about that?
He is from San Antonio.
Let me see. He had Arthur's Theme. That was the big one from the movie Arthur. And then, Ride Like the Wind? Wait, that's, did he do, yes, he did do Ride Like the Wind. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, he had like three hits.
Yeah, three hits and then gone. So,
if you got a movie hit, you're gone in comfort.
Oh yeah. Royalties for the rest of your life.
Should be okay. Yeah.
But then I kept reading on the Book of Knowledge, and I'm like, okay, it says that he is such a good guitar player that he filled in for Ritchie Blackmore in a Deep Purple concert in 1970 when Blackmore was sick.
Really?
Now that's a deep cut.
That is a deep. I always liked him. I thought he also was in some other project he was involved in, but I remember it was the album with the. I'm looking at it right now. This is the. Yeah, the album with the flamingo on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the one. We all had that one in 1979.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks like a normal guy. He just looks like your, you know, average Joe, like you would see him at, at the Walgreens.
Yeah, well, he looks kind of like a homely average guy.
He does.
A little bit.
Dad bod, the whole thing. Yeah.
Just a tad. Yeah. Well, 3.5 million monthly listeners, according to Spotify.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's getting about $20. That's good.
Yeah. If that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. Anyway. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, we're back. We're back in business. I have no idea. I think what happened was I'm battling this, and this is probably something that we should talk about at some point. I'm battling this batch of signups to the API, and it's just like, it's accelerated. And I know a lot of them are just garbage.
Scammers and people just trying to scrape stuff from us?
I don't exactly know what they're doing, because most of the, there's just tons and tons of signups, and nobody, and most of these don't actually do anything in the API.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have to like, and then there's also people that are hitting us with sample code.
Sample.
So we have the example org in GitHub that's got all the example code for, you know, every language known to man on how to hit the API. And what a lot of people are doing is just taking that code and just hit, and just like dropping it in, making a couple of changes, and going. So we end up with tons of hits with a user agent string that's just right out of the sample code.
Well, I think something else is going on here. This is clearly OpenAI ChatGPT, which is searching through all of GitHub, sucking in the code, running the code, probably even signing up. And it's probably even asking for you to take down some podcast it doesn't like. I'm telling you, ma'am, this thing is out of control. The AI has taken over.
Did you read that? What is, do you think that's real?
What?
That email? Is that real, a real person?
Or the email that we got?
Yeah.
I haven't hit send yet on the reply. Okay. I am 99% certain that it will bounce.
Okay.
I mean,
there's no website associated with this.
No, there's no website. It's a GoDaddy, protected domain, so you can't find out who's registered it.
Yeah.
Sketchy. It's okay. I have my email ready. I'm just going to double check it. You know, someone wanted a Fox News taken down from, it's interesting to send it to us because it was sent to, the URL it refers to is PodFriend.
Yeah, and I'm sure as he appropriately should, I'm sure Martin got the first email and he was like, "Nope, talk to podcast index."
Guaranteed, he didn't get an email. I'm telling you, he did not. Okay. Yeah, well, okay. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch. I don't mind doing that. But the AI stuff is out of control. I have to say, it's out of control.
Mm. I'm so tired of hearing people read a ChatGPT stories. I'm just
You're telling me. You're telling well. Here's the AI story from this morning that I thought was interesting, that Apple has quietly released AI narrated audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And which is interesting to me because, you know, I make a living speaking. So if this is what my competitor is going to be, and Chad F was kind enough to send me a little sample. Which I will share in the same way I did with my wife this morning. I didn't say anything. I just played it and waited for her to respond. I didn't say, listen to this. I just played. I just played it. Here we go. Listen to this, I should say. Here we go.
Trying to relay information that is not always identifiable by current analytical processes is sometimes haphazard. But through real-life stories and examples that illustrate how others can achieve the same results.
At this point, she said, why are you listening to a robot? She heard it right away.
Oh, yeah.
Without me setting her up, which I thought was interesting.
It's in the, this is on the upswing of the uncanny valley. It's just, which is almost the worst place to be. Like, you want to be on the beginning of the upside of the uncanny valley, not halfway up, because then it's like, then it's really irritating and triggering you. Because you can hear it every now and then, and you're constantly questioning whether or not what you're hearing is actually right or not.
Right.
It's like you're gaslighting yourself.
To me, immediately just sounds soulless. It's like, that's what I, every single time I see an AI generated anything, including ChatGPT, it's soulless. ChatGPT is word salad soulless. It's like, let me write 50 words to say I can't help you. it's a bit much. But I did run some code. I said write a bash script that lets me check the Bitcoin price. And it wrote a script, and I copy pasted it, made it executable, and it worked. Quite impressive.
It worked for what? I mean, what did it actually do though?
Oh, No, it's like if I type in BTC price and run it, then it comes back and it says, you know, I'll do it right now. So it
says, but what is it like? What does the code do? What service is it querying?
Allow me to tell you. Hold on a second. Here we go. BTC. Okay. What it does, does a curl on the CoinDesk API. Retrieves the JSON. Then it uses JQ.
Yeah,
which I had to install. What is JQ? A JSON query, I guess. JSON.
It's a JSON decoder for the command
line. Parser. Okay, and then it literally parses for .bpi.usd rate, and then it says echo the current price of Bitcoin is. It even told me how to install JQ if it wasn't installed on my system. That was kind of cool.
So the logical next question is, whose code did it steal?
Oh, it's of course
did it have permission?
Of course it stole someone's code. Yeah, of course. What I discovered yesterday during No Agenda, you know, I've been using Neeva, NEEVA, as a search engine for, oh goodness, ever since they came out, maybe 2 years.
Oh, you're still using that?
Wow. Oh yeah. Okay. And I pay for it, and it's fine. And so I'm searching something, and all of a sudden, I see on the search results Neeva AI, and it's literally just like ChatGPT is rolling out. It's typing in real time, but it's also showing me the sources where it got this information from. And these are ex-Google guys. So what happened is you got this big organization, Google, who are of course freaking out over this stuff because it's much better as a user-friendly way to get an answer. I'm not saying the answer is correct, but to get an answer. And a company like that, it's very difficult to move in any direction, especially search. I mean, you don't fuck with search at Google, man. You don't touch anything without the board knowing about it, I guess. And these ex-Google guys, they went, oh, yeah, hold my beer. We'll implement that. Now no one knows about it. They'll get no ink. but I was impressed they did it. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, I think you made a good point at some point in the past. I can't remember when you said this. I think it was you. Basically, it's the sort of definitiveness of what ChatGPT says that is sort of like the secret sauce that scares everybody in the search
industry. Right.
They don't give you a list of links, list of search results.
Exactly.
You say, what's the best barbecue restaurant in Austin, Texas? And it says, it's this one.
Right.
You're like, okay. But if you don't like that one, you could try these other ones. It's just the way that it's worded. You're like, that's actually kind of,
and that's, yeah, exactly.
You know, because from a search engine standpoint, like that is intoxicating to most people, is that they just get an answer. They don't have to actually parse anything.
Exactly. No, people like that. This is exactly what lazy people love. This is going to be great for lazy people. It's fantastic. It will ruin society. It will remove all soul from all art, but man, we'll be happy doing it for sure. Big day today is the first board meeting of the new year. We have not one, but we have two esteemed and honorable board members who have been, even though I've had their microphones open, they're very, very quiet. That's there. We have trained them so well. Please welcome right away to the board meeting the Honorable Alex Gates, official podcasting 2.0 consultant, and the Honorable Mitch Downey, founder and developer of Perverse. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. There you go. See, Mitch has got his DJ voice on. Hey, everybody. Happy New Year, gents.
Happy New Year. It's been a long journey for us.
for today's board meeting, been a long journey, or just in general? Just a whole long journey just as is.
A little bit of both, huh?
Yeah, 2022 is a whirlwind of development and lots of exciting things.
No kidding. Yeah. Now, go ahead, Dave.
Alex, I was going to ask you, so I mean, the reason I kind of put y'all together on this show together is because we've been talking so much about, you know, cross-app comments and that kind of thing. So we put this together over the last couple of weeks because I kind of wanted to see, we've talked a lot about cross-app comments, but then we haven't really, Podverse is one of the only apps that has it in the app. Alex, you've got a bunch of knowledge and development, IP involved in thinking this thing through and getting it implemented. So I thought it just might be good to have sort of like the cross-app comment executive committee.
Oh, wow. Is it the same as the compensation committee?
Yes, there's actually no compensation committee at all. So you can just, there's no. Yeah. Before, go ahead.
I was going to say, before we start, want to welcome everybody in the chat room. Want to welcome everybody listening live. We are lit. And you're probably listening to it on CurioCaster or Podverse, and you can find more about that by checking out each of those apps. Just want to make sure everyone knows that we love them in the chat room. And of course, they are already pre-boosting us, so good to have everybody here.
Like, just in general, like, Alex, I guess I want to start with you, because... What do you think? We've been talking around cross-app comments for weeks now. Like, what is your sense of where it's at, and then what you envision as what it will look like? Let's just, I don't want to guide you too much on the question. I want to leave it open, but I mean, what do you think is a reasonable sort of roadmap, and then where do you think we could be like within a couple of years?
Well, short term, I think we're actually in a really good position. Kind of to back up a little bit about the big picture, I think maybe in the beginning we got a little bit too caught up on the perfect solution, which is we didn't want to depend on the Mastodon API for either hosting or replying. But I think, especially within the last few months, we've noticed that with the influx of Mastodon, that I think it's a prime time to allow dependency on the Mastodon API for in-app replying. So, the way James Crislin explained last week with like kind of the OAuth flow where you'd have Podverse acting as a Mastodon client. Mm-hmm. I think that we can do that today. There's plenty of examples for it. I've gone back and forth with Mitch on some of the available JavaScript libraries to do it. I think that is easily doable right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, talking about UX, that's not really my doghouse, but that's I'll leave Mitch to comment on that. But I think working on that and on understanding how we've had these traditional podcast client UX for so long and kind of breaking out of that will be important.
Mm. You're doing it already with PeerTube, right? I mean, this is just so people understand. I mean, when people are interacting with PeerTube's ActivityPub through Mastodon. I mean, so this is doable. It's not theoretical. I mean, this is actually code that exists.
Yes, that's correct. And I'm actually actively working on upstreaming that code into the main PeerTube project. So hopefully within 6 months, that will be available to everyone who can run PeerTube.
And that's you also posted something to me. I think it was maybe today or yesterday, and I was looking through it about giving out chat, having a live chat, but then giving out the live chat details within ActivityPub messages. And that's something somebody's proposed, but I mean, I think what you said made a lot of sense, which we, you know, it makes sense to adopt that, not just basically piggyback off that work within PeerTube.
Yes. Although I want to be very clear, I think we should, distinctly avoid confusing live chat and comments. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different experience for totally different purposes.
Yeah, I mean, because you corrected me on that a couple of weeks ago, because you were saying that, you know, you have live chat. If I mean, when you're in, I think the perfect example, sort of mentally, that people can envision is YouTube, and then you have a live chat on the same screen. You have a live chat and you have comments. You have both, and I have three,
including the super chat. You have three, really, which would be our boostograms.
Right. Yeah. So you really have. It conceptually two, technically three things happening at the same time. And I tend to forget that because when you think of live chat, I forget that the comments are also there.
Yeah, so live chat is definitely for, I mean, just take No Agenda as an example. It's for on-the-fly trolling, for lack of a better term.
No, that's exactly what it is. We call it the troll room, not the chat room on No Agenda.
And for some experiences, I mean, you can go to Twitch for some of the smaller channels. There are, you know, there's legitimate real-time discussion happening. But it's not meant to persist by any means. It's, you know, it's, you know, as near real-time as possible. And comments are for a more long-term formal discussion, I think. Well, as formal as you can imagine.
What I've noticed, and this came up on the last episode, I think. So, first of all, the idea that it's all on the same page is important. And for those who are a little lost right now, we're talking about the concept of being able to comment on a podcast episode and that showing up on that episode in every app that integrates the cross-app comments or the social interact tag, as it's officially known. When you play a YouTube video, the comments are static down below. And you can sort them as well from newest or most popular. That's not to be underestimated. I have no idea what people typically do or what the default is or if that you can set that. But you also have the option of playing back the live chat, which honestly, I kind of like. If I'm watching something, even though I can't interact with it and it says this is a pre-recorded, when that's kind of scrolling by on the side, I've always found that to be interesting.
It depends on the stream.
Well, not but it's a UX decision that they've made that clearly is working. Otherwise, I presume they'd not do that.
Well, yeah, it's honestly a feeling when you're watching a live. That's part of the live stream experience, right? Just seeing the chaos, especially in some of the bigger streams going on in the live chat as they discuss things and people react to them, even if it's meaningless.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying as a playback mechanism, it has value when you can play, if you're coming in and it was live and it's two different things. I realize it, but to say chat shouldn't be a part of this, I don't know if that's correct because we're looking at the template, at the model that people like, and having that role, that scrolling thing while you're listening to it, even if it's a week later, is not without value for obviously for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. We're saying that. Yeah. I think we're saying that. We're just saying that like, we're talking about the giving out of the live chat information in ActivityPub so that ActivityPub and making the distinction between ActivityPub is the comments. ActivityPub is not the live chat.
Agreed. Completely.
Yeah. 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 Cause you gotta have some way to, I mean, I think it's fair to say that ActivityPub can be a carrier of a lot of stuff. Probably a good carrier of a lot of information, rather than the thing itself. It can be a transporter of various things. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Let me explain, I guess, the history of why that came up.
Okay.
Basically, with work I'm doing for PeerTube, I'm allowing a way for PeerTube plugins to extend the RSS feeds. So if you host PeerTube and you want to add something to your RSS feed without having to modify the software, you'll be able to do that with the plugin. The live chat thing you're mentioning is me working with a live chat plugin developer for PeerTube to work on a specification in parallel with an ActivityPub specification. So we can get live chat, realistically into an RSS feed. And the parallel there is ActivityPub is just as extensible as RSS with the namespace work we're doing. It's just JSON and linked data structures. And that's one of the big reasons ActivityPub is so useful for us is because we actually have that protocol. Whereas if we were to try to use an alternative like Nostr, we would have to invent all that.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we in the conversation? I'm a little lost. I mean, I'm here to find out how I can get the comments that I've been posting in the way I've been told to do it to surface in apps and for people to be able to comment in the app.
Short answer is make your podcast client a Mastodon client and allow the user to sign in.
Well, I don't have a podcast client. I'm dependent upon podcast apps that are being created. So I'm just trying to follow the spec and see if we can get something to surface.
Well, that would be from a front end perspective. Cross app comments and live chat are two totally distinct features. You see this on YouTube today. There's comments that are left asynchronously, just reply to people's posts. And then there's also a separate live chat experience. So with regard to Mastodon implementation, I'd like to say that the reason that we haven't seen faster adoption from the app side, so you can actually get in and start replying within the app, is just a knowledge issue. Implementation details about ActivityPub. All of this is possible today with the social interact tag, and it has been possible for over a year. It's just a matter of for us to learn the implementation details, which Alex has been helping us with, and there seems to be at least one good library we can use for this purpose.
So
right now today in Podverse, we have a read-only cross-app comments experience. So if the podcaster provides a link to their Mastodon post, it doesn't have to be Mastodon. It could be other ActivityPub services. Then what our app will do is we'll use John Spurlock's ThreadCap library, and that will pull in all of the replies that are associated with that ActivityPub post. And so we have this read-only. You can't reply directly in the app, but that's only because we haven't done the work to learn how to do the OAuth process to let you log into your Mastodon account, basically, within Podverse, and then begin replying. So there's no technical limitation to why we haven't done it yet. It's simply we haven't had the time to do it. But with the surge in popularity of Mastodon, which was quite unexpected to me in 2022, it's becoming a high priority quickly.
Yeah, so you could just take, instead of, I think that's probably what Alex was saying earlier, is we got too hooked on vanilla ActivityPub as being sort of, okay, every client implementation is going to have to roll an ActivityPub solution, whereas probably the best way forward right now, with the popularity of Mastodon and the flood of Mastodon people, is just to say, okay, OAuth out to your Mastodon account and just go that way.
Now, a question: Will that then work? If you authenticate yourself once, and then you won't have to go in and do all the dance of, oh, I have to copy this, find it, go to my instance, and then only then can I reply to it. You know what I'm talking about? This kind of loop around that has to be done at this moment.
Yeah, that'll work. And the reason I know it'll work is because you already use a client. You use Pinafore. Pinafore is doing this already.
Okay, that's how they do that.
So what will have to happen is the Podverse, for example, will have to do that search step for you for some stupid Mastodon reasons. But yeah, it'll be a seamless experience.
Well, then we're all done. It works. That's it.
Short episode.
I'm actually gonna put Pinafore in the into the show notes so people can see how that works. So this is really, well, there's a couple of other things that I think are non-technical that have been an issue. One is how does this show up in the UI? Is it something that will move to the front now that it seems like people are using it? Is it something that app developers want to see it on all the shows and don't want to have an empty spot, because that's clearly UI UX decisions that have to be made. So if there's no comments or no root post or just a random podcast, do we still want to have comments there? I mean, there's a lot of things that I remember from almost 2 years ago, I think, when we started talking about this, that that were raised as issues. And I'm just not sure how we can motivate people to start thinking about it and start implementing or not implementing or coming to some kind of consensus. Because right now we basically, I think, doesn't CurioCaster also do comments, read-only comments?
I think. I don't think so.
No? So it's only Podverse.
I think it's only Podverse and Podfriend.
Well, I've been kicking around ideas with Alex and Creon, our co-founder. And so right now, today, the experience is if you open the player in Podverse and you swipe to the left or right, it'll show additional features. One of those features is comments. However, there's no indicator when the player appears if a show has comments or not. So that is a UX problem that we need to solve. But it is solvable. And now that, you know, comments are gaining a bit more traction, so we're thinking of how we can add it so at a glance, you'll know if comments are available. I have two ideas we've been talking about. One that people seem to like the most. So we could have one comment show, like if comments are available, just one truncated comment appears on the screen and then you tap it and then the full list of comments could appear. So that would be in, you know, prime real estate on the right when you load the player.
Mm-hmm.
The other alternative I was thinking about, this would take up less vertical real estate, which is the advantage, but I'm not sure if this is the way to go. So Spotify has a feature where if a song has lyrics, there's a little card that peeks up from the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. And if you scroll down, it will reveal the lyrics. This design pattern could work for other things. Maybe it could work for comments. So if a podcast doesn't have comments, there just would not be an indicator on the screen related to comments.
That's a cool idea. I like that idea.
Similar to streaming, streaming payments and boostergrams. If the podcast doesn't have it, the UI doesn't show the buttons.
I actually think we should say comments are disabled for this podcast. Oh. I think that would actually help drive adoption and reduce confusion.
That's a cool idea too, because then the negative of saying there are no comments for this podcast indicates that some podcasts actually do have comments.
Yeah, I would suggest saying instead of have been disabled, say not enabled.
Or not available.
Little friendlier. No, not enabled. Yeah. Is enabled, I think, is the right word, because it's the podcaster who should be enabling, correct?
I was going off the YouTube verbiage, but yeah, people have to play around with it.
Please don't make me speak Silicon Valley language. Let's just do an upside down version.
That's sort of like what's the opposite of a dark pattern? It's a light pattern. That's an anti dark pattern. you're saying this thing doesn't have this thing, but wink wink. This thing is available.
It's available. You know? Yes. Not enabled. And that's up to any podcast app, how they want to do it. I mean, I'm so happy that we've gotten to this point. Cause if I can summarize, cause there's a lot of technical stuff. Summarizing, we got slowed down a bit because we were looking purely at ActivityPub. It's a big learning curve. There's a lot to it. And, you know, every single developer here obviously has millions of dollars and a whole staff to do whatever they want all day long. They just chose not to do it. So, but now, like, is the consensus, at least amongst the board here today, as we count them, that going the Mastodon API route may be the way to go, as long as it's open for anyone to, you know, obviously you can use any ActivityPub client. Is that what we're looking at now?
That's my understanding, yeah. But I'll defer to Alex.
Yeah, I think that's I the way I like to see it from a developer's perspective is the Mastodon API, for better or for worse, is sort of becoming like the S3 of social networks, yeah. At least for ActivityPub. And S3 being the Amazon storage.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, because it's like we can all wish that things were more generic and more sort of higher level, but then it's sort of like it's wishing versus sort of accepting reality as it is. And the one benefit that I can think of on top of that is the fact that if you are just owe all thing out to a Mastodon instance, to an account on a Mastodon instance, then the moderation of those comments becomes the instance's problem, not the app's problem. So it really solves that
big time. And it's easy to point podcasters to a $5 a month solution, you know, to host their own Mastodon client to set it up. I mean, that becomes almost a non-issue. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, if Mitch has to build his own ActivityPub stack, then he's just, there's no way to get around having to be responsible for the moderation.
But yeah. And early on, that was part of the thing. That was one of the things that kept us from really moving forward with it, which is people were suggesting that we would create our own Mastodon instance and help people sign up for it. And that would be great, but we have to operate on a very lean budget as an open source project. And we're not interested in the amount of work that would be involved in moderating people's comments, because like it or not, people can post very awful things or illegal things. And that's not something we want to be responsible for maintaining.
So the experience would be, I open up a podcast. I'm just going through this from a listener perspective, and there's an indication, that you can comment on this, or there may be comments, maybe you can comment and there's already 10 comments, a counter. And then if I want to interact with that, I will log in with my own at Mastodon account. If I don't know what that is, then a pointer, go over here. Get a Mastodon account anywhere you want to get a Mastodon account, because they're pretty easy to get now with all of the press about it. Is that the flow?
Yeah, that's basically it, and it is getting easier for people with adoption. So you would get a read-only experience by default.
Okay,
you can just scan and you'll see whatever the comments are, and somewhere in the UI there will be a login button, or maybe you press the reply button and first it prompts you to log in. Then it redirects you to our own in-app Mastodon login flow.
Beautiful.
Alex, what are you using for your agates at activitypub.agates.io? What is the backing of that? Is that something you wrote, or is that a Pleroma or what?
I wish I had time for that. It was Pleroma, and then I moved to a fork of it called Rebased. Which is, it's a Rebased in Soapbox, which is honestly, the UI is better than Mastodon, so I'd definitely check it out.
Is that a multi-user type thing, or is that just sort of like a single user instance type deal?
Mine is single instance, but by default it's multi-user. And I'm hosting on a $5 a month Linode.
Because I talked last week about, you know, get sort of bridging some of these things over to just get more content to start the ActivityPub comment stream, and kind of started outlining that, writing it out on paper this week, and looking at the ActivityPub protocol. And I mean, really, looking at Mastodon, it looks the weaknesses in Mastodon, the Achilles heel, and is somebody, I'm sure there's more than one, but to me, the big Achilles heel of Mastodon is this dependence on Sidekick for all the notifications that happen. That thing seems to be really the thing that kills it and makes it hard, because you'll end up with, you know, tens of thousands of queued Sidekick messages for all of this activity that's going in, you know, when things start to federate. And I feel like if you could take that thing out and make it where it was, put it into a more efficient language or a more efficient structure, things would be, you could do it on a much smaller scale without all the huge overhead of Mastodon.
Yeah, I'm not to get too nerdy, but Mastodon the main difference between Mastodon and Pleroma and forks of Pleroma is Mastodon doesn't like use its own internal data structure, which complicates things significantly. Whereas the simplest ActivityPub implementations just store the JSON in the database and use it that way.
Yeah, because I was thinking you could even do that with, you could even do it with just object storage. I mean, you could go far with just object storage until you needed to do the federated notification. And like, you could really put something together that's very, very lightweight, which is what I'm hoping to do. But the, went off the rails on that.
You're fixing. I like it. You're fixing Mastodon. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right.
They need some fixing.
That's not happening.
Well, I mean, I'll just say that we federate heavily on podcastindex.social. All I do is I pay Mastodon.host a fee every month. I pay them a little extra for the amount of users and for full site search. But you know, I've never seen, has that thing ever gone down really? I don't think we've ever seen an outage, and it's federation. Everything seems to work pretty well. So, I mean, if you're talking millions and millions and millions of people like Mastodon.social, yeah, that's a whole different ball of wax, but it seems like that wouldn't be too much of an issue for what we're doing here, would it?
Well, no, I think if you get the way I understand it is if you get somebody on your instance who has, you know, potentially a million followers.
Wait. On your instance. I'm going to post on my own instance. Isn't that the idea that the podcaster is responsible for either, you know, getting their account somewhere or setting up their own server?
Yeah. So what I'm talking about is sort of like internal to Mastodon itself. So you could just imagine if you had let's say if you had a podcast that was extremely popular, you know, and had tens of thousands of followers, then it would be the same sort of potential problem as if you had somebody like, Stephen Fry, who has 100,000 followers on Mastodon or on the Fediverse. Well, now every time he posts, you're going to have notifications going out in the thousands as that federates. So that's where you hit a snag with Mastodon, is that process takes a huge amount of load. That's directly the ability for the instance to handle that is basically proportional to how much compute it has, because I don't think that's a efficiently parallel operation.
That said, it's a problem that would affect what, like 0.001% of podcasts who would be interested in this sort of feature. And assuming that you have a big enough show, you can solve scaling problems with more money and resources, I would think.
It's a good problem to have, honestly. And there are actually ways to optimize it. The people that critique it generally don't know about the optimizations.
Did I describe that right, Alex?
I mean, I think so. I mean, that's only really the case if each one of your 1 million followers each has their own instance. If you have 500,000 followers on one instance, you know, the ActivityPub service can generally optimize that because they know that they're all at the same place.
I got you. Because you have sort of a single inbox or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very, very similar to email in that regard.
Okay.
But you're talking about like the reply all scenario, honestly, which, yeah.
Yeah. It's premature optimization. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to interject something else just to make it more complicated. May I?
Go ahead.
So the next question is, we have an app out there that is doing Lightning comments. I don't know how these are integrated. I find them interesting. I don't know if it's the same thing. There's questions, and maybe we can't solve this here. But if I look at my own boostograms, they are pretty much comments. And certainly in this show, they're it's always a comment, actually. It's pretty much always a comment. Or 9 out of 10 are comments. Is that something that we integrate into this? Is that something that that should and is separate? If it is separate, how the heck do we make it work on all apps instead of just one? Is it something that we can consider at all? I throw that out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's definitely separate. And that's why I'm starting to write the thing that I'm writing, is to pull that over so that it can be, so that it can exist as an ActivityPub comment without having to mix the two together, so that they can keep their distinctiveness without, but also use the fact that people, I mean, some people who do Lightning comments, I mean, it's probably Fountain's a popular app. And so people who do that, they do it a lot. So that's a lot of content. So if we could use that, if we could use those comments to, pollinate, you know, the ActivityPub root post, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I just don't want to mix the two together, like on the technical side.
Mm-hmm.
If I could try to explain my understanding of this problem. So, Lightning comments exist within the metadata that is transmitted in the Bitcoin Lightning network. And it works for most use cases. If you want to send a short message to a podcaster, it can generally fit within the metadata that's sent. However, Lightning Network also has something beyond my understanding that involves onion routing, which leads to an unpredictable amount of characters that you're allowed to send with a message. And yes, for a messaging platform, that's a very big limitation. So in Podverse, for example, we say a limit of 400 characters in your boostergram, but that's just a guess. I can't predict how many characters you actually have before it'll get cut off, because apparently as the transaction is sent between different nodes, if I'm saying that right, each address will get concatenated in the message, so we can't predict how much room we have to send. So that is one major limitation of a purely Lightning Network based commenting system. Whereas something like ActivityPub is designed for this purpose, and we can reliably use it to send.
Right. So this is where comments. If I understand, Alex, you had ideas about separating that out and having the message being maybe still carried in the TLV or not, but I know you've got something in mind.
Yeah, basically there's ways built into both ActivityPub and Lightning to, one, in ActivityPub, extend the specification, which is non-trivial. Just want to make that clear up front. But long term, we can add things to these, you know, ActivityPub messages. If we, you know, if to work in Mastodon or whatever to do so, we can attempt that. And what we do is we would essentially attach what I'm calling a payment proof of payment, which would work with any system, not just Lightning. But Lightning has a way to sign messages. I mean, you can go into your Lightning node and do it right now. And what we can do is define a specification to a predefined message format that says, hey, I paid this amount to this person at this address.
And here's my message.
And you can attach that to your ActivityPub post. It gets all cryptographically signed so you can prove who it is. And we have to work on ways of verifying that's accurate. But I think it's the best way forward. Even if it wasn't ActivityPub, I think the proof of payment a concept is important to just get speech out of payments.
So maybe baby steps first is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we can. I mean, at first we could probably just say, hey, this person boosted this amount, and, you know, it could be faked, but, you know, but that's a long way away.
Yeah. Hopefully this bridge work will become something, will become that, you know, so that we can, hey, okay, these things are coming over, these comments that originated as Lightning comments are coming over, here, okay, now they're coming over as ActivityPub. Now, logical next step, let's have them as, let's split the ActivityPub comment and the payment, and then add the proof of payment, and then, you know, and then actually make the split over time. I mean, that to me, that makes logical sense as a sort of a roadmap.
So we got a 10,000 sat boost from Sam Sethi, who doesn't know him. And Sam says PodFans, which is his super secret project, which he's now just boosting about openly, is working to make itself a Mastodon client. We already support the activity stream standard, i.e. actor, verb, object. He says we can post on behalf of the user when they comment on PodFans. The difference between a comment and a boostagram is only the payment part. So that he's already thinking along the same line. So it would be great if we can get Podverse and maybe PodFans and maybe one other to support the cross app comments to surface those. I tell you, I will promote the crap out of it.
Sure. Well, we're interested in it, and Alex and I have talked about it quite a bit with his JSON payment token spec. And I think it can happen in parallel with Lightning comments as they exist today. Lightning comments, just they have their limitations because it's not intended to be a messaging system. But there's no reason we couldn't send the message to two places simultaneously. We could include the message in the Boostagram Lightning data, and we could also post the message to ActivityPub at the same time.
Nice.
And I think the feature advantages of ActivityPub over enough time would allow it to replace strict dependency on, you know, the Lightning network, which isn't intended for this purpose.
I like it.
The simplest solution for Fountain would be to just host a Mastodon server and post the Lightning comments as messages for the users.
That would solve everything. Yeah, that is a good idea. I wonder if Oscar's thought about doing that, because that's a good solution. Mitch, you had brought something up a while back, and I had written down here to ask you about it. Was the you said you were having trouble with the shim aspect of the podcaster wallet stuff. And I think it was specifically related to episode level splits. Can you run through that real quick? Because I want to make sure that I'm not leaving you hanging on something.
Sure. So as a podcast app, we get all of our data from RSS. It's the adopted standard, provides all of the show information that every podcast app needs to give the full experience, all the features that podcast has. Now with the value tag, you guys have created the
monster
pod, the shim is the gentler word. That
you can replace a letter in there if you want to. Okay.
Which is a temporary stand-in, which allows people to get the same experience as if they added their podcast value tag to their RSS feed, but it's actually hosted. Is it Podcast Index? Is that?
It's in the AP. It's in the comes out of the API, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So what we have to do, we have to add an extra step in our database, in our API and parsing system, so that we request from Podcast Index value tag information for every podcast. That's fine for now. I think there's like 10,000 podcasts or something, which is pretty cool. There's that many that support it. Now, if we want to apply that to episodes, we have to also scrape that data from Podcast Index for every episode. So now that's, you know, if there's like 100 episodes per podcast, now we're at 1 million points of information. We have to scrape from an API. If that was in the RSS feed itself, we wouldn't have to even go to Podcast Index for this purpose. So I think it makes a lot of sense that the shim has been used to get liftoff with this feature, but it is something we would want to move away from rather than consolidating this dependency on the API for this information. And it seems like RSS hosts are increasingly adopting.
So, the whole concept of a shim is exactly what the word means. You know, it's just a temporary fix to, because we were very skeptical about doing this at all, but we wanted to launch and get the value for value system running, which this is very successful. It's 10,780 podcasts I'm reading here. Wow. So question number one is, so I know you maintain your own database, you read from your own database. What is exactly the reason behind, because you're one of the few, I think, who does that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like, you know, you're like you're unique in having your own database.
That does, well, for a lot of the 2.0 apps, I think that's true. We existed before 2.0 was even a thing. So we needed to have our own infrastructure for a podcast database. And we decided to keep it because just in case there are other features that we want to support that potentially the index doesn't support. And also just for resilience, I guess, and to be able to support ourselves, you know, in a self-hosted way, if for whatever reason the index wouldn't be available. So currently we have our own standalone parsing RSS parsing system and database, but we also sync with the podcast index regularly to get feed update notifications or if a new feed was added or deleted. So we sync continuously.
But you can't sync the value block information?
We could. It's definitely possible. It's just there's, for the episode specifically, we do support podcast level. So to be clear, if it uses Podcaster Wallet, we provide the value tag information for the podcast level. We don't provide the episode, so show specific splits. We can do that. It will be more work for us to do that.
So hold on a second. So if I put you guys in the value block, which of course we do with all of our guests, you will actually not get that if someone uses Podverse?
If you have it in the RSS feed, which I think you do.
Uh-huh, of course, yes.
Then we do support it. We have just prioritized native RSS support over the episode level API integration. It's entirely possible. It just either will require a much larger syncing operation, maybe on a daily basis with the index, or on the fly in an app, we make a request to Podcast Index and say, you know, this person just tried to play this episode. Before playing it, grab the value information, which is fine, but it's, you know, it's more interaction that has to happen, potentially more waiting time for a network request. So it's not our preferred approach.
Would it help, Mitch, if I published, if I just dumped all of that episode level data out into just a big file? And, you know, just did it every, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. That way something, you could just grab something once and not have to be, polling.
Yeah, that something like that could definitely help.
Okay.
It's a solvable problem on our end with the existing resources. I just like to nudge people towards being aware that these limitations exist. And this is part of the reason why you would want to prefer to have it in RSS.
Ultimately, we all want it to be an RSS, but that's just going to take another 5 years. I can tell you right now, it's just going to take a while before everybody has that. That's just the nature of the beast, I think.
Yeah, it's been so hard even to get people to support transcripts.
It's been crazy. Now, Mitch, by the way, congratulations with all of the releases you've been doing, all of the bug fixes. OPML import works again. It's been fantastic. I'm on Graphene OS, which is an oddball thing. Don't worry about it. I'm still having issues from time to time. It forgets that it's connected to the Albi wallet. I'm not sure what the problem is, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. I'll live. The issue that is cropping up on Lit, and it's weird because you're the guy that that has all of these features that are so exciting. You've got notifications for when a show goes lit. So, you know, I'm plugging the heck out of Podverse. So, of course, I have a vested interest on asking about a couple things that are a little troublesome or that are bugs. And the big one is images for lit. There seems to be some caching going on. And like when I... if I do no agenda and I do the lit, it hits the pod ping, everything flows, it'll pop up and I'll see on the live bot on Mastodon, it'll have the correct image, but the notification and sometimes even the actual image on the lit episode will be the older image. Is there a way I can bust that cache? Is there something that I can do?
It's difficult. I'll have to look into that more. There could be caching things that are out of our control at the time that a feed is parsed. And also when the user plays the show. So if they get a notification, they immediately press play. Whatever image we have at that moment is going to hang around in the player and not correct itself magically. But maybe 15 minutes later we reparse and we get the correct image. That could work. I will have to look into it more. And this is like a finer tuning. Something we lack is maybe a good environment to run our own tests like this with, to be able to reproduce the steps that the podcasters are using. So these sorts of bugs can crop in there. Cause in my test, it's working fine, but I'm doing a much more limited test than, in the case of no agenda.
Alex, what do you, are you supporting live pod pings in PeerTube yet?
No, which is, I know, very ironic. I'm supporting live, live episodes, live streams. But all the work I'm doing with PeerTube is to allow that to happen.
That's part of your RSS work.
Yes. And part of the plugin work.
Okay, I just wondered how you were planning on, do you have a strategy for that? Because caching is just always, it's one of the fundamental issues. Do you kind of have a theoretical idea of how you're going to handle that with images and such and thumbnails?
I've already got that handled. Basically, whenever the live state changes on a video live stream, I'm clearing the cache, at least in the server side. So
where are you, what kind of caching do you use? Is it behind a CDN?
No, PeerTube is using built-in cache, in-memory cache. So basically it doesn't have to recreate the RSS feed every request. So I don't know. To me, Mish, that sounds like a race condition where you might be sending the notification before you finish parsing. It doesn't
possibly
sound...
I think in the sequence of things, it's supposed to wait to send the notification until after that, but... there's hundreds of lines of code for me to crawl through.
The place you can see it perfectly is in 100% Retro, the live stream, which, by the way, is phenomenal how it works. And Dave, thank you so much for coding up their electronic programming guide. So I get about 10 lit notifications a day, and it's for the show, and it's always the wrong image. Sometimes it's the same image for several hours. So it's whatever in general, I know this is a problem with podcast apps. I think, podcast, addicts. I mean, I see people who will tweet out an episode and it's an image from 3 months ago. I mean, there's, even though it was in the spec to, be able to have different, channel level images, item level images, it really never got the attention that it should have because most people don't do that. But I think more people would do it if they can see, if they actually see the result of it changing on a regular basis. It's just, it's a general issue. And any way we can resolve that, that'd be great. It's just, it's too bad because everything else works beautifully.
Sure. I wasn't even aware that 100% Retro didn't always have the right, image artwork. So that's a great, test case that I can,
That's actually really good because it rolls like every 2 hours. But anything you need, man, I'd be happy to do any type of test, anything that I can help with anytime.
Tell me what you want, Mitch. I can always make adjustments to that feed generator. because it's real simplistic. So if you want me to test different, like cache busting or whatever, I can, maybe that'll help you pinpoint where the issue is.
Okay. If the image always has a different URL, I would expect us to always get the right image. So I doubt that 100% Retro is using the same image URL and alternating the image.
Well, Dave would know because Dave wrote the whole thing.
No, it's not. It's a different URL. It's a different URL. But we'll work together on it and see if we can figure it out.
Cool. 100% Retro, by the way, it's great because it's like my sanity check because I'm subscribed to notifications for it. Mm-hmm. And late in the night, if I'm like worried, oh, is our live stream still working? Well, just look at it. I see all these notifications.
A little anecdote. So this is just a guy I know from 100 years ago. He's in Belgium. He's put all his own money into this. He has, you know, some investors. And so now he always planned to go down the advertising route. So he's finally opened up advertising. And of course, you know, a new stream without any marketing, you know, he's going to have to do some marketing to get people to listen. But just as an anecdote, in the first month of him running with ads, he actually made more money with value for value streaming payments, even though it's from me, you, I think Cridlin may boost it from time to time, Dave probably. He actually made more money, and it was more exciting to everybody to see the money coming in real time. You know, he's got an Albi wallet hooked up to it. It was really quite interesting to see that we're kicking ass there. It's really nice. Speaking of which, of kicking ass, Dave, if I may just interrupt the conversation for a moment.
Okay.
Is it possible to hand off some of the incoming stuff that you deal with? Because I saw you said, hey, I actually spend more time with email with Podcast Index than anything else. Is it possible to hand off something so that I can help reparse a feed when someone, because I get the same emails, but I really don't know what to do or how to help. One is, I need you to remove this one because I'm now here. The other one is, not all my episodes are showing up. Are there things that you can hand off to me, or, and I'm really available for that, or any other person, so we can alleviate some of that? Because it's an incredible waste of your time. And I'm happy to do anything. I mean, I can perform commands, you know, just tell me what to do and I can make stuff happen. Seriously. I mean, this is, I hate that you're bogged down by that. I mean, I was able to wrangle the takedown notice out of your hands. Like, stop that. You shouldn't be dealing with that crap with these morons. Let me do that.
I appreciate it. It's one of those things, like, you know, like with all projects like this, you can solve the issue by writing the software that allows people to help, but that requires hours and hours of work to write the software to allow people to help. So it's just, you know, you get in this catch-22 to where you're like, okay, do you spend all this time writing the tool that's going to save you time later, or do you just do the thing now and get on with it? And so, I mean, at some point I'll just have to buckle down and solve this problem, which is kind of what I'm having to do with the API at the moment, because, after looking at what happened this morning, you know, it's just there's technical debt that goes back literally all the way to
Freedom Controller.
August of 2020. Yeah. When I rolled the API in 6 weeks.
Right.
And so, like, there's things that I still have to crawl out from under for that. And it's time for that stuff to happen. So, I'll solve that issue at some point. But I mean, for the most part.
Or how about this? How about this? Hmm. How about when those requests come in, we set up a process where I make sure that these people get a reply and tell them that it's in the queue and it'll be on the way. And then you can just, you know, there's a stack that comes in and you can deal with it whenever you want to. I mean, anything to get you out of the out of the squirrel moment of, if someone wants this, someone wants that, you know, just even if it's just to say, you know, expect your answer in 48 hours or whatever, you know, something that we can do. It's just,
I was grumpy because I had just dug out of like, you know, over 100 emails of having to go through there. So like, no, I need Mitch's brother. That's who I need. I just need to forward all my emails to Mitch's brother.
Wait a minute. Am I missing something here?
Well, my brother helps. Yeah, Kyle helps with a lot of day to day. I throw basically all kinds of different tasks at him. We try to respond to people within one to two business days. And most of the requests we get through are for related to podcast requests. Either a feed is missing or the feed hasn't been parsed for recently for one reason or another. And those are things we want to be able to respond to immediately. And they're pretty easy to do, but you know, when I'm constantly doing programming problems, it gets to be quite a burden to be replying to all these. So
I'm just going to have a t-shirt that says "Talk to Kyle."
Yeah, you correspond with him quite a bit. I don't know. I could ask if he's if his services are available.
I might have to get
a price.
I mean, I literally offered the same thing for free.
I don't know. I think Dave needs a ticketing system and, you know, defined SLAs.
SLAs. The ticketing system, Alex, is you get an auto reply that says, here's your ticket number, and then just nothing ever happens.
I get
a ticket number.
I read the Riot Act to someone the other day.
You did. You did. Yeah, you sent an email back. It's like, hey, stop being rude.
Yeah. Dick, you know, because you were like, oh, it looks like your feed is parsed. Really, Dave? Really? Are all the episodes in? Really? Have you checked it out? Now, I'm adding the emphasis of the voice that I heard at the time.
PTR says slave level agreement, SLA.
He did come back and said, oh, man, I didn't know you guys were just volunteers. And or you know, I positioned it something like that. Oh, I'm sorry about that. But in general, the attitude that people have about how technology works sometimes gets me very, very angry. And I had a very shitty experience, and it was all my fault, where, you know, the show that Tina and I do, Curry and the Keeper, curryandthekeeper.com, everybody, which we only accept value for value through podcasting 2.0. And of course, people send us bottles of wine. So, okay, well, oh crap, we'll have to take that. But, you know, I've always said, they have to read the instructions that the app gives them. And I could always tell by, you know, and so people will message Tina on Instagram. These are very unsophisticated users. And they're like, okay, we really want to do it and we're really motivated, but we can't figure it out. And I was like, they have to read. I can tell they're not reading. And people don't read. You'll never get them to read. But then I said, Tina, why don't we sit down and we'll go through it? You have not been through the process yourself. You have not set up a podcast app, bought Bitcoin, put it in, figured out how to get it onto Lightning, and then actually boost a show. And she says, okay, this is a good idea. Because it was causing tension between us, because I get all huffy, like, oh, people don't read, they don't care. And they don't. We just have to admit that. And so she's like, well, you know, they don't understand. They're just trying to help. So we went through it. It was a ghastly experience. We have zero good, I mean, even GetAlbi, if you say, oh, just use GetAlbi and hook it up to Podverse, there's no, the information flow is just, it sucks. And we need to create some kind of project, again, something I'll be happy to spearhead, whether the apps do it themselves. You know, I had Oscar Mary came back and said, oh, yeah, no, it's going to be much easier in version 6. I presume they're going to integrate a Bitcoin purchase right in there. But even, you know, the idea, I was saying to people, oh, just go to Cash App and then you Cash App, you can transfer it. Well, dude, it took a little while to figure out how you can actually do it with Cash App. There's no explanation of that. So we need overall, we need to make sure that I am just as guilty of thinking, and, you know, you just have to follow the instructions. There's no instructions anywhere, really, that are of any use to anybody. How do we do this? Is this something that should be a central point? Should be a, something on Podcast Index that we explain different ways to purchase Bitcoin, different ways to get it into the Lightning Network? Is it something the apps will do, can do? Since I only have you here, Mitch, I mean, do you feel that you have an adequate explanation of how this works? Or do you kind of dump people off at GetAlbi and rely on GetAlbi to help people understand? Because GetAlbi is, unless you're a podcaster, if you're just someone who wants to hook it up to Podverse, there's some gaps in the steps.
I think with the process of just connecting your Albi wallet, it's pretty straightforward, but the big knowledge gap is creating an Albi account and loading it with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And big strides were made this year around a few months ago. So Albi previously only allowed you to send using the Lightning Network to send sats into it. And that I wrote a tutorial myself, and it turned into like 5 pages of like needing to use a third party app intermediary. Like you go from your exchange, you go to this third party app, you send your sats here, then you send it to Albi. And it was just way too complicated, but they have added on-chain deposits. So now you can go directly from wherever you buy Bitcoin and just withdraw directly to your Albi account. So there's no Lightning Network intermediary needed. The exchange doesn't even have to support the Lightning Network for you to load your wallet with sats.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have to hook up an app to your Albi wallet first?
Well, I believe they'll give you one by default. I didn't have to connect a node. I just signed up for Albi and they gave me a wallet.
That's send and receive. I see it right now. That is new. Okay. That's cool. All right. Okay.
So you might have been one of the earliest adopters and missed that.
I hadn't actually seen this screen, because when I went maybe 3 days ago, I went to Albi and I said, okay, I want to receive into the Albi wallet. It said, "Oh, you have to get get Zeus and connect it this way." That was like, what? I haven't seen this top up either. Okay, this is good. I think I'm just going to write some stuff, and maybe people can use it as a template, because I understand that everyone's kind of like, well, you know, you do it there, but then everyone has all these pieces and they don't quite connect, and it's just a shame because we're so close to everything.
Well, I mean, anything crypto that has to go through KYC, I mean, it's just across the board. I mean, it's always going to be, there's always going to be friction right now. I'm not even talking about,
it's just, we need to tell people what's going to happen. And Cash App is the worst. I mean, and this is a big corporation that's a public company. Let me just tell you how Cash App went. Okay. Tina installed Cash App. Great. Congratulations. You have Cash App. Now figure out how to buy Bitcoin. Oh, hold on a second. We need to approve you. So you go through a process. Good. You'll be verified very soon. So she got verified within 30 minutes and just kept saying verified. Now, this is when she was sending a payment. And so the first thing she thought was, oh, I'm verified. So the payment was sent, right? No, of course not. Of course it was. They don't send that just because they verify you. Then you want to send Bitcoin. Then they, oh, hold on a second. Now we need your driver's license. We need a picture of you. So it's very scary to people when they don't know. And MoonPay does the same thing, I think. When they don't know what's happening, it's like, you know, you see something called MoonPay. The fuck do I have to give my driver's license to MoonPay? You know, it's scary to people. So we need to have
that
some.
That sounds legit.
It's right. It sounds like crap. You're like, MoonPay? No. What is this, Russian? So I'm going to start I'll do it on the GitHub so people can contribute to it. So we can just write something up that is general for everybody. And then, you know, we can pick and choose, integrate that into your own FAQs or whatever. And again, hand on my own heart here, I really thought it was much better explained.
Well, and part of the problem has been that what is required has changed on an almost monthly basis. And things are evolving. So if I write a tutorial from 3 months ago, there's now a much easier process today than there was 3 months ago. So we've been waiting
harder, because I mean, Cash App didn't used to be that hard. It's harder now than it was 6 months ago.
Well, let me tell you the thing about Cash App. So we've got all this set, and then we're going to copy the invoice to fund the wallet. And I say, oh yeah, just, you don't have to scan it, just copy it. Then you go to Cash App, and Cash App doesn't have a paste this code. It has only the scan. And I'm like, I can't. That's under. Great. And then we saw a video from 3 months ago. Ah, you can paste the code if you go in through it back to the home page of the app and click on Bitcoin, but not if you go. And I think it's a bug on their end. Not if you go to the pay screen, it doesn't have that option. So there's so much going on. And ultimately, I mean, I'm even looking at this Albi, and this is actually quite good. I mean, anybody could use this because you can buy it right there and you have it in Lightning, and then you can fund a wallet with it. And I'm actually thinking Albi is a very good on-ramp at this point.
Yeah, I kind of buried the lead when I said the on-chain deposits, because that was a step forward. But this new MoonPay integration, you can use a credit card. I haven't gone through the process. I guess there's some KYC involved in it.
Of course.
However, you just go to Albi, and then the whole process is there. Once you create a wallet, you buy some sats, you put it in it, then you open up Podverse, go to the value for value screen.
Yep, you authenticate. Yep. And I do that twice a day. I do that twice or three times a day.
Well, that is unfortunate. I think there might be a Graphene OS related.
Oh, 100%. No, 100%. 100%. Don't worry about it. I don't mind, because all I have to do is just hit the V for V again and then just connect, and then it works. And it remembers the amounts I put in there. It just forgets the connection for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I have to look into that. That's some the could off it, token.
Could it be... Perhaps my MAC address changes every single time I connect to a different network? Is it one of those security things that's screwing it up? That might be an Albi question.
It would depend on what type of... So right now the wallet will auto disconnect in Podverse if it gets a unauthorized response, which makes me wonder if there is extra security happening. I don't know, a changing MAC address. Well,
honestly, I find myself reconnecting to Albi in Conshacks in a browser. I have to reconnect regularly with the Saturn stats. So it's probably me. I have too much security in my life. I need to live more dangerously.
I'm running in Graphene OS 2, Adam, and I don't think I have the issue. It's very strange.
Yeah, you're Podverse and Graphene, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's not my primary application. Just I use IntenaPod, so.
Okay.
But I'll give a shot at him.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I just don't want to bother Mitch if it's something that's completely on my side, you know. So we don't have to deal with that crap.
Now, you're an expert at breaking things.
I am so good at it.
It's a valuable service.
Speaking of such, I want to promote the valueforvalue.info website, which I've been trying to get it out there, but not a lot of traction. It explains what value for value is and how it works in context of podcasting 2.0. So I'm putting that in the show notes. Pass it on. Let people know. And we finally were able to make HTTPS work with newpodcastapps.com.
Oh, is it work now?
Yeah, you know, of course not. Okay. After I pay for a certificate.
Oh, you had to pay for a certificate?
Well, if you do it through DN Simple, I mean, ultimately you wind up paying for something somewhere. I mean, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm happy it worked. I didn't know that was possible, and so that was a big win, because I think that was breaking everywhere.
Hey, Alex, can you give me an update on what you're like, on where you're at with your managing of No Agenda Tubes? Like, I guess I want to say moderation, but that's not really what I'm talking about. You did a bunch of cleanup and got rid of a bunch of crap accounts and that kind of thing. But then also, like, what? How do you manage in general the comments section and all that stuff? I mean, like, what do you do there?
So I basically closed open registration because most of the signups after the initial kind of announcement are just bot accounts, like linking outside of the site. So I ended up cleaning up like maybe 30% of the accounts. So that was fun. and then as far as comments, I mean, there's not a ton of comments, but it goes in line with the traditional I believe the traditional activity pub reporting mechanism. So if someone reports a comment, I'll get a notification and I can act upon it there. I can either ignore it, or I can, you know, delete the comment from NoGendaTube. I can't delete the comment because I don't have access to other people's servers. I can also block domains. So, I mean, it's just like you'd see in Mastodon, I think.
Oh, speaking of, we got Fetty blocked, hashtag Fetty blocked on podcastindex.social for being, quote, libertarian and crypto.
Who did that?
I don't know.
How do you know? How do you know we got blocked?
Boobery posted a screenshot from some other instance that blocked us.
Oh.
It said, woo, hashtag Fetty block. And it said, reason, libertarian / crypto. Okay. Yeah, sure.
That's great.
That really sums everything up.
Sure does. Yeah. Well, that's
why whatever you're doing, Alex, I want to do that too. I mean, I think I just want to close registration. I mean, do people have to email you to do it, or do you have some sort of trickery that they have to run through? What are you doing
to register?
Yeah, to get an account.
Yeah, right now they would have to contact me with an email address, and I can just create them an account.
Okay, because I think that's the way I'm going. Because the open sign up is just, I feel like it's a losing battle. I feel like no matter what I do, there's going to be some bot tree out there that can defeat it.
I also have sign in with No Agenda Social, which just uses OAuth.
Oh, that's basically how comments will work.
Right. It's not the same thing with PeerTube, but yeah, that's a good flow if you want someone to sign in with, like, you could have signed in with GitHub for, if you want, you know.
So now since you're here and we're talking about No Agenda Tube, if I wanted to ask Mo from MoFax to start using No Agenda Tube, what are the pieces he needs and what is missing, or what do we need to do? Because the disconnect I'm seeing is, well, one, he would need, he can send an RTPS stream, which I know that works. I've done that. Then what comes out, you have your own RSS feed. So that would be separate from the RSS feed we already use.
Yeah, although you could take that item and put it in yours if you want.
Right, but that would require manual intervention.
Or a script. Yep.
Is there something that you're thinking about in that way? I mean, obviously you want to keep your split in there and all that working. It's just, how do we, you know, we have our RSS feed, we want to have use the lit tag, we want to go lit, want people to pop up there. What is the best way to do that?
So what I'm working on is targeting people who want to stand up their own PeerTube instances and use it as their feed. Yeah, kind of like I want people to be able to replace YouTube or Twitch and not have to know how to host an RSS feed. I mean, so there's two ways you could do it. You could have a permanent live stream and just put that in your feed and keep it there forever, just like you do with Icecast or whatever you do for your MP3 stream, the No Agenda stream.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
Otherwise, right. So that would just be our own video server, basically.
Well, if you want to use No Agenda Tube, it would be, you put your live stream No Agenda Tube URL in there.
Okay, but then you don't necessarily get your split unless we put it in specifically.
Right, you would have to add that.
Okay.
Which, right. I mean, that's the case with any external links in RSS feeds. I don't think that could solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we are working, I can't remember his name, there's someone working on a Lightning plugin for PeerTube, and what I want to do is hook in with that so I can put the value block into the feed too. But then you'd still have to have some kind of script to pull it in.
And Mitch, does Podverse do video? Well, do that kind of video, I should say.
We do support video. I'm not aware of any live streaming video podcasts, unless maybe Todd Cochran has done one. We have a limitation currently, which is we don't support HLS video streams. Alex is well aware of this. He's the one who told me about it.
Mm-hmm. You dropped everything but HLS, right, Alex?
Yeah, basically the way PeerTube works, I cut my storage in half.
That's good.
So I'm only supporting HLS right now. I'm paying significantly less.
Yeah, and the good news on our end is that over the holiday break, I created a branch for the mobile app where I'm upgrading our video and audio library. It was a big undertaking. We need to do a lot of testing. This is going to be longer.
I'll bet.
Because, yeah, if the audio player or video player have issues, that's the whole app. So we're going to I've been delaying the release into beta until we have we feel good about our stable, our version that we have live. Then we'll beta test deeply for a couple weeks. If all goes well, then we should be able to support HLS video pretty soon.
Killer. That's awesome, man. How responsive has PeerTube been to your upstreaming and on all that? Do you think that's going to go pretty well, Alex?
Yeah, I got to work on that this weekend. Obviously, they wanted some changes. It's always more difficult to work with someone else's software than your own because it's as much politics as it is development.
Yes, it is.
But I think they're open to it, and I think some of the people understand that having an RSS feed is very beneficial. So I mean, they have many users asking for it. Mm. So I think it's going well.
May I suggest we thank a few people? Now that we're $1.30 into this.
Yeah, let's go.
We've had quite a number, actually. Quite a number of live boosts coming in. We'll start with Mike Newman, the most recent. 123,456 sats.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
I think anything over 100,000. Is that a big baller? Every 100,000 plus? We're going to have to up the ante here. I know. I don't know.
We might have to down the ante the way prices are going.
Great hearing a full boardroom to start the new year. Today I'm streaming with CurioCaster and boosting from Podverse. All right. Cheers. Wow. Cheers to a productive and collaborative 2023 for the PC2O community. All right, Mike. Thank you very much. 10,000 sats from Sam Sethi again. Who says, my Lightning address, sam@getalbi.com, is also my Noster account. Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about that. Thank God. As Albi hold my public and private keys, could Albi also integrate to Mastodon in the same way so I could use my Lightning address to post to Mastodon in the same way I can today with Noster to any relay that I'm logged into? Whew! I don't know. Alex, yes or no?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
I don't understand the question. So is Lightning, he has a Lightning address at sam@getalbi.com. It's also his Noster public key, I guess is what he says when he says my Noster account. Yeah, so he uses public and private keys for that. Could Albi also integrate into Mastodon in the same way so I could use my Lightning address to post to Mastodon? I don't know if that's possible. I don't think so.
That's a difference between identity and service.
So, no.
So, I mean, you could log in with it maybe if they supported that.
Mm, okay, I don't think it does. At least I've not heard
of
it.
They would have to run a Mastodon service.
Yeah. Okay. Martin Lindeskog, short row of ducks. He says, hey, thanks for going for the flow for the user of a pod catcher and listener to a podcast. I think he means for the comments. There's Sam Sethi again, which we talked about with his super project pod fans. That's the 10,000 stats. 33,333 from Cotton Gin. Happy New Year. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
20,023 from Rasta Calavera. First boost for the new year from my own node. Well, congratulations, you full node owner, you. Here's my two sats on cross-app comments. Fine for live stuff, but boost should be the main mechanism for regular releases. I like chapters. I like boosts. I'm not wanting for comments. I am curious to see how the value tag evolves this year. Could a big player like Venmo get involved? They could do fiat, but they also buy and sell Bitcoin and shitcoins to their users. Maybe it will be possible for someone to use a service like that and bring it mainstream. Whew, there's a lot there. So, I mean, that's a personal preference about Boost versus Comments. I think we kind of went through that. I think we have some consensus on that and how that could be integrated, but clearly separate. And any player can get into this. The spec is open. So I don't see why not. The problem is typically with fiat systems that they don't do very well at small amounts for transactions. Any comments?
For the idea that Boostagrams and Comments are separate, I don't think from a user experience they have to be all that separate. If you look at YouTube live streams today, they have a chat and the super chats, which are paid comments, appear within the chat. They just have, you know, a value next to them. I think a comparable experience is possible with Boostagrams and cross app comments.
I look forward to it, Mitch. You know me. I'll be the one promoting it and breaking it at the same time. I'm very happy to try that. Big players, big players are already getting into the value space, which in general is good as long as, you know, they can adhere to the way it works, I guess. I mean, that seems a bit open. I don't know if we have time to go into that, Dave, if you wanted to comment on that.
I mean, on which specific? It's like Venmo and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, or anybody coming in, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know. That's not really... I hate to say that I don't care. I guess because, I mean, anytime some big player does something that has the potential to, you know, make waves and do all this stuff for good and bad, I guess. But I don't know. I'm just not focused on that. I mean, like, to me, what matters is that you're able to do things directly peer to peer. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, I think so much of everything that we do today is built in on these big platforms that I just want to minimize that. I mean, you got to be realistic and say, well, you can't ever completely get away from it, maybe, but I don't know. I'm through caring about what the big players are doing.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go. I'm not implementing anything. So 33333 from Eric PP. Pew pew, he says. Thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate it. 6969 from Hey Citizen. Fountain is great and all, but it is absolutely proprietary software sent to you from Podverse, powered by GetAlbi. I don't know. Okay. Wow, that's an odd one.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
We are free and open source software, and you know, we love that some people appreciate that.
10,000 from Borlaug. Thank you. 17,776 from Boobery. A big freedom boost. Excited for this one. Mitch has come to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and he's all out of bubblegum. Woohoo!
Go podcasting!
Martin Lindeskog, also very happy to hear Mitch's voice, 1776. And we have 1999 from the Tone Wrecker. Please explain the Pew sound trigger setup or share link/info. Looking to implement one here with music-specific boosts, sounds for boosts. 808 sats for triggers. Oh, he's got a whole bunch of different things. Well, talk to Boobery about that and Sir Spencer and those guys, because they've set all that up. I'm not even sure how it works. We do have the pew pew sound. This one is in helipad, which I've been going through my old domains or my hundreds of domains and trying to reduce some. And some of these are pretty expensive, it turns out, if it's not a .com. and we have helipad.cloud still. Does anyone use that?
I didn't even know we had that.
Yeah, it points to the GitHub for helipad. The helipad is still a great program. I mean, I use it every single time I'm doing stuff with the show. I know it's like it might have dropped off everyone's radar for a bit, but man, it's a great, great little program, particularly for live stuff. And I see Todd Cochran is next with 125,000 sats. Todd!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
And Todd is using the Albi-related Saturn live view of the package. Todd, I would say if you can get helipad running, it only goes off with boosts. Because I was listening to the live stream from NAB. I think that's where they're at this week. And he's doing a 9-hour live stream. And so I'm listening and I'm sending 200 sats a minute. That's my standard. And,
was it out of control? Was it just a kick?
I keep hearing every minute, what, pew, pew. I'm like, oh no. It was like, bling, whatever that sound is from Albie. Bling. I'm like, oh man, I should stop sending the money because it's annoying now.
It sounds like a 70s game show.
Yeah it does. Right. It does. So Helipad is still a fantastic piece of software. if you have Umbral, then it's right there in the store. I love it. I think it works great. I use it to export my boostograms from. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows helipad.cloud, $50 a year, but I'm happy to keep using it. And Todd says, hey guys, Blueberry is really close in releasing a bunch of podcasting 2.0 features. We'll be doing final testing on our dashboard next week. Then we work on PowerPress. Go podcasting. Nice. Yeah.
Go podcasting.
I'm very excited about that, Todd. So happy to see you jump in. We had to pull you in. We had to take your clothes off. We had to put your bathing cap on, but you're in the deep end. We love that.
And know where you're going with that.
It's true. let me see. I think those. Oh, wait. No, I have a couple more. Another Blueberry 1776. Thank you very much. Do I have anything else here? Well, then I have the delimiter, which means it's time to hit it over to you, Dave. So what do you have?
We have a PayPal. One PayPal this week from Blueberry, $150.
Whoa, hold on a second. That's a baller from me.
Shakala, 20 inch blade on the Impala.
Does he already have a coveted t-shirt?
No, he does not, but I will be glad to send Todd and Mike. I'll send them both t-shirts if they want.
Make sure you let us know, guys.
Yeah, thank you. There was no note, so I guess the boost was the note.
Okay.
We got some boostergrams though. Let's see. Booberry Row Sticks 11111 through Podverse. And he says, keep it skanky.
That's also known as a satchel of Richards.
Oh, it's okay. All right. what does this term mean? Satchel of Richards.
Well, that's the British for bag of dicks.
Okay.
1111 is a satchel of Richards. It's the polite way to say it.
Okay. That's in company, in polite company.
Yes, that came up the other day. It's like, oh, okay. I got you.
Okay. N4VX 3333 through Curiocaster. And he says, PC 2.0 to the moon 2023 and beyond.
Mm, thank you. Is that a boost or a?
That's a boost, yes.
8008, I'm guessing?
No, 3333.
Ooh, that's different. Usually it does 8008. All right. Thank you.
Martin Lindskog, he says, it's a Row of Ducks 2222. And he says, cheers. What do you drink, James? You should drink tea. Martin Lindskog. All right.
That's from our year-end episode.
Martin sent us a Rush 2112 boost. And he says, the Asian market is the way to go. And Contro is a good ingredient for margarita.
This is all boosting. Man. This is all boosting from that show.
Yes. Let's see. We got Mike Dale sent 5555 through Podverse. He says, last boost of 2022.
Nice one, Mike. Thank you.
Boobery, again, with the boost CLI, 33333. And he says, next week makes 100 live episodes of Behind the Schemes in the can. Going live with IRC and a voicemail line is such a killer combo. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Yes.
Boost!
I'd love to understand how you're triggering all those sounds with different amounts.
The goat slaughter. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's documented somewhere, but I just love to see if I can do it myself. I love it. I love the idea.
Ned sent us 10,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, not DJ, not VJ, PB&J, pod boosted jockey.
Boost.
Tone Wrecker sent us 1999 through Curiocaster and says, appreciate the later live session today. A chance to sit in the chat finally while logged out of work now. Oh, James Cridlin. Oh, this is your boost. This is your 100,000 boost. Am I overlapping? Did we already do
some? Yeah, I don't think. No, the 100,000. Yes, you're overlapping. We read these while live.
You got the 100,000 though.
Yeah, yeah. That was for the bet. Now, interestingly, you know, it should have gone to me alone, but okay. You know, and he actually sent like, I think 10% back to himself because we put him in the split. But okay, it's all right.
That was a little sneaky.
Yeah, he did it last year too, and I'm sure for the next 10 years, as I remain correct on my with my bet that Apple will never release Apple Podcasting to Android, we'll just keep it going to the index. It's fine.
Let's see. So I gotta make sure that I am in the right thing. So we did.
So Booberry says that all those sounds are triggered by IRC. Okay. So it's a combo, okay. I guess, of the BoostBot and IRC. Well, it's good to know. I mean, I'd love to understand it. I can get into IRC stuff.
Let's see. Okay. Oh, we got PTAR sent us. I don't think we did this one.
I don't think so.
PTAR gave us 333,333.
What?
Through Fountain.
333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333,333
podfluencers out there making podcasting 2.0 a reality, including Alex and Mitch. Onward and upward.
Boost, boost, boost.
Yay.
2023 sats through from Matt Kundle through Fountain. He says, Happy New Year. Great meeting you at Podcast Movement.
Oh,
and great you, meeting you too. Elite 1337 through Gene from Gene Bean through Fountain. He says, so glad to hear Dave say he's going to build the bridge between Boostergrams like this one and Activity Pub.
Mm.
Well, that's the plan.
Hey, are you going to PodFest?
Me?
Yeah.
No,
me neither. I can't. Just wanted to check. I don't think I can handle it anymore.
I can't. It's too close to tax season. It's just not. This is not doable. Oh yes,
of course.
It's Ooh, already started.
Tax season.
Another one from Gene Bean. The problem with podcast apps running a Mastodon server that provides users with accounts is that the app owner is now responsible for moderation and all the other overhead of operating a Mastodon instance.
Yep.
Just talked about that.
Yep. I think we're good. I think we fixed that.
Social proof is also from Gene Bean, lead boost. He says social proof is just such a great way of describing comments. Okay. Is that something that we said?
I'm trying to think what that was.
I don't remember saying social proof.
I like it. I'm not sure what it is, but I like it. There you go. That's a show title. Social proof. We got social proof. Nice. Thank you.
It probably relates to your Nostra key.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Because I was saying that the Jack was messaging me on Nostra. And he was like, that's not Jack. Well, it was.
It's a Jack. It's not Jack unless it is.
It was the Jack. It was the Jack.
Sir Michael, 2020 sats through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Sir Michael.
Thank you.
Gene Bean back with 22222 through Fountain. He says, putting out a shameless plug for the Volunteer Technologist podcast, where we dive into the many ways people who are technically inclined voluntarily put their skills to use outside of their primary job. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a listen. Mr. not the band from the 80s. Sent a 7674 sats through Fountain. No note. What was their big hit? What was Mr.'s big hit?
Two big hits. I think the guys live out here, actually. Kyrie Eleison and Broken Wings. They're really nice guys.
Broken Wings. Yeah that's
so take these broken wings
and learn to fly away.
Yeah. Stop.
Yep.
We're killing each other.
Okay. Harv Hat 10101 binary boost through Curiocaster. No note.
Mm-hmm.
Satchel of Richards from Joel W. through Fountain.
There you go.
No note. 1555 from Nomadicoder. No note. 2023 from Borlaug through Podverse. Says, wanted to start the new year right. You two are a gift and an inspiration. Oh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
From me. 26,000 sets. Through the app YouSocial. Don't see that very much. I forgot about YouSocial.
Is that the one that's on Umbral?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Okay. That's one of the first ones I've ever seen from YouSocial.
Me too. And it's cool. I don't know who me is, but whoever you are, you know who you are.
Thank you. You.
Bill.Prag, 2,500 sats through PodFriend. I think he's a Hive guy, right? I think he is.
Could be.
Says, there's a simple solution for comments, but it would be decentralized and forever. it already works on 20 plus social front ends that I know. Oh, this, yeah, he's a Hive guy.
Okay.
This is the way the Hive guys start. There is a solution for this. And then they go on to describe it, and then they end up with the punchline.
It's Hive.
Everyone can send or read a pod ping. Everyone can send or see a comment. Yes. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. 6969 through Podverse from Hey Citizen. Sending GNU Linux and software freedom karma your way for 2023, the year of Linux desktop.
I'm going to save you, and I'm going to say, I heard you say GNU Linux. I'm pretty sure you didn't say GNU. I heard you say GNU.
GNU, yes.
Because yeah. If you don't say GNU, Richard Stallman will come over and fart in your room or something. It's like, they're very, very paranoid about pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, I said that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, GNU. I heard GNU.
Yeah. Another 6969 from Hey Citizen. Through Podverse, he says, boosting because I love it when Dave says, Hey Citizen. Well, keep it up.
Bomb show.
Let's see. We've got a couple of low ball. Let's see. 54321 from Roy Scheinfeld.
Roy Scheinfeld. Hello, Roy.
And he says this is bug bounty for Adam.
Hey! I made some bug bounty. Woo! Thank you, Roy.
Hacker one.
And Roy, please stop calling me. Just stop. It's too much. I can't handle all the calls.
All the non-existent calls.
He's avoiding me. I don't know. He only wants to talk to you. I don't know what happened. He's going to make fun of his slippers.
Mint Lion, this is one of Breeze's rando names, 6666. And he says, the beautiful Aussie drawl of James filled me with national pride. Great guest to kick off the new year, Kyron. I'm guessing that's Kyron. From Mere Mortals.
Thank you, Kyron.
Our buddy. I also have a make good from Kyron last week, and he called me out on it. I got the timing wrong when I dumped the boosts, and it says, and he sent 148,000 sats last week that I missed.
Hold on a second.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
My goodness, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that, Kyron. He says, regarding ethics, I'm certainly more generous, care more about making a great product for my audience, and most importantly, didn't have to sell my soul through advertising or paywalls or X before finding out about the V4V model. And that's all due to you two and Podcasting 2.0. Oh. Happy New Year to you both, and I'm super excited for podcasting in 2023.
Valueforvalue.info.
Yeah, I'm sorry about missing that, Kyron. Let's see, Brian of London in the Hive DAO, 118,801 sats through the V4V app.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Some good boost today.
He says, bit of a catch-up donation, though my main Hive DAO funding has reduced quite a bit. But as Freddie's saying, the show must go on.
I'd love to understand how that works. I mean, why did the funding reduce? Do you have any idea how that works or what the deal is?
I don't.
Seems like he's doing more work than ever. I don't understand these doubts.
I can explain.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, the funding he got was voted on by the Hive community. And I think his renewal of that project is either up for grabs or it didn't happen.
Oh. Does that mean he loses all the funding or does it just reduce?
He loses the, I think it's daily or monthly income.
Well, I don't want Brian of London funding Podping Hive HBD stuff out of his own pocket.
No, he doesn't. Cause when you send a Podping, you don't actually spend any currency. Oh. So he's already got all that. The only worry we would have there is if Podping usage increased and we had to help contribute to that.
Brian, let us know.
Which I'm happy to do. I mean, you know, we're happy to do that. Let's see. Here we go. Boobery, 17776 through Boost CLI. And he says, and he gives a link here. He says, I don't know what to do with or where to use these audiograms, but they are fun to make. He gives a Podverse link. I don't know how to, maybe we can post this in the show notes or something.
I'm seeing if I can find it.
Okay. And the Delimiter, comic strip blogger, 33,015 sats through Fountain. And he says, dearest Dave and artful Adam, humankind is indebted to your rejuvenation of podcasting which will have a lasting effect upon the fate of our children's children. Wow. Your ingenuity will even cross over into emerging technological sentience. So do keep tabs on the blossoming spirit of artificial intelligence with AI.cooking, a podcast recited by your boy, Gwoof. Yo.
Boost! That link leads to a clip on Podverse. Okay. And that clip is, why use Podverse? I will put that in the show notes. How nice is that?
Oh, that is nice.
You might want to listen to it first. I think I heard this clip.
I agree.
What, getting wood? Really? Is that what the screenshot is? What the heck is that all about?
That was on Podverse.
So would you like me to not post this clip, Mitch?
Oh, it's up to you. I'm just saying. Booberry is a prankster.
So. Oh, okay. Well, it appears to be from our show.
Yeah.
Alex said, I concur.
Booberry's always doing innovative things with the show art. Their show Behind the Schemes, like, just has these really cool animated GIFs that they make themselves. And he puts them in as the chapter artwork and stuff. It's really something to see if you ever
check it out. I just saw it. I saw the V for V logo dancing around. He did that?
Yeah. Yeah, he did that, and you should play an episode of Behind the Schemes sometime, and on the website or the mobile app, and check the chapters, because he has a lot of animated GIFs that I think he makes himself.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's a feast for the eyes, for sure.
I love those guys, man. It's insane the stuff they're doing. It really is. They've grabbed the lit stuff by the horns.
And we've got, we've got some monthlies. We got... Chad Farrow, $22, $20 and 22 cents. Scott Jalbert, $12. Martin Lindeskog, $1. Mark Graham, $1. Joseph Maraca, $5. Jeremy New, $5. And Cameron Rose, $25. And that's our group. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all so very, very much. And today's boostograms and streaming payments will be split between the usual suspects who have helped us out with this program, including... Dreb Scott for the chapters, and obviously our two guests here in the boardroom, Alex and Mitch. And so you guys have to make sure that you send me your Lightning addresses so that I can implement that upon publishing.
Sure.
Value for value. That's how this whole project works. If it's something of value to you, determine what it is according to your own pocketbook. Send it back to us. You can do it in a number of ways. The number one way is to go to that now functioning newpodcastapps.com the website. And there you can find many different podcast apps. You heard one here today, Podverse, that actually will send this value back to the to all the people involved in the project. You can also go to podcastindex.org at the bottom, the requisite red donation button, which leads you to our fiat fund coupon PayPal link, and also Tallycoin. Believe it or not, Tina and I got a Tallycoin donation the other day. Someone actually was able to do it, and it worked.
Well, I'm just glad the site works. Yeah.
Glad anything works, really. It's amazing any of this stuff works. All right, shall we wrap this up, gents? Anything for the round table?
Yeah, I just want to say how much I appreciate, and I hope both of you, Alex and Mitch, hope both of you know how much I appreciate y'all and what y'all do. And just glad to be a part of it. It's just fun.
Yeah, I've got one small request.
Roundtable question for the gentleman.
Yeah, so the one thing, now that the Podping news is kind of, in the past, one thing that we didn't talk about with the new version of Podping was playlists. I know I'm always like a year ahead on this stuff, but if you're a developer and you're interested, reach out to us so we can test it out now before we formalize the spec for the new spec.
And playlists would be most usable for the medium tag music?
Music and maybe video. I'm going to do it for PeerTube as well. So
do playlists.
Is that going to be in your code for the new stuff that you're pushing into PeerTube?
I do not know yet.
But okay.
Yep.
What specifically are you, do you have a concern that you're trying to tease out?
No, I just, it's a brand new idea and I would like feedback on it. I know it's part of the name space.
Okay.
And where do they go?
Oh, they go to the remote item proposal, I think.
In the GitHub?
Yeah. In the list mediums and remote item in GitHub. Yep.
All right. And of course, you can always post something on podcastindex.social. Or if your client is not banned because of our libertarian crypto ways, then we should be able to federate just fine with you.
Cryptotarians.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Cryptotarians. Dang.
That'll get you blocked everywhere.
I need to have that domain name. That's what I need. One last thing here. Martin Lindeskog asked if we got his late 2022 boosted RAM of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Satoshis.
Did you get my late 2022 boosted RAM of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
I don't know if we got that one. I'm looking for it. Well, for sure, I'll give you a...
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
There you go. No,
I just wrote it down. I'll go find it.
We'll go find it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate all of you. It's going to be another stellar year, certainly as advertising falls apart. There's a number of links in the show notes that we didn't discuss today, but interesting to watch regardless. And I'll be on Rogan this month. I'm really going to see if I can get him interested in talking about podcasting 2.0 this time. I'm not sure, but I'm going to try.
We just need to get him moved over to No Agenda Tube and watch Linode melt down.
He can host his own peer too. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, let me tell you, it's unwatchable on Spotify. I pay for Spotify. They interrupt the video every 10 minutes with an ad that is audio. Those people are stupid over there. I don't know what they're doing, but they don't understand user experience. It's really, really debilitating. Have you noticed that? Have you ever watched this video with those interruptions?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh.
Are you talking about Rogan's show?
Yeah.
I don't really listen to it unless you're on it, so I don't have the experience with it.
Well, don't worry. you'll be experiencing that within a few weeks. You'll see it every 10 minutes. Hey, I use some great vitamins.
if he shows up on NA tube, Alex, just sudo shutdown-H now. Just walk away.
All right, everybody. Thanks again, guys. Really appreciate it. Have yourselves a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too.
Thanks.
All right. Dave, take it easy, brother.
See you, man.
Give me some tools. I want to help out. Make it easier on you. All right. That's it for the board meeting, everybody. We'll see you next week right here for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Bala! Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Go podcasting!